أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وصلاة يوم الدين. أما بعد، last time we stopped I think Surah Al Imran. No? It's supposed to. What happened to Surah Al Imran? The person was vanished? Oh. Okay, we'll do Surah Al Imran tomorrow then, we'll pick it up. Because I was under the impression that it was done. Okay. We'll talk about Surah Nisa because it ties up with what we were talking on Sunday night, if you remember, regarding the issue of marriage, marital relationships, and we were talking about the issue of manners and etiquettes and things such as that. Also the issue of divorce and how it is abhorred and detested. Today, Surah Nisa picks up over there from where we left off regarding marital relationships. I gave a couple of ayats regarding from Surah Baqarah that deal with the issue of difference of opinion. And here Surah Nisa is, as you know, the name is Nisa, woman. It's a Madani Surah that was revealed after the Hijrah of Rasulullah in Medina. And it has the basic ingredients of a Madani Surah, meaning the laws and rules and regulations of the institution of family and the society and the neighborhood within an Islamic framework. And above all, it has the hukuk, the rights and obligations and things that are deserving for women folk, women in general. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in this surah about how should husbands and wives specifically live together under one roof, and what to do when it comes to difference of opinion, arguments, disputes. What are the tools and avenues to undertake before, like I said last time, the last everlast resort of dissolution of the marriage, which in other words you can say is the most disliked halal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, divorce. And in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all starts the surah by informing us how He has created us. يَهُ النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقُوا مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying is that fear, taqwa is the main thing. This is the same ayah that is recited also in the khutbatul nikah. Whenever you go for a nikah ceremony, a marriage ceremony, the imam sahab or qari sahab recites this ayah also within that. So it is implying to us right at the foundation of marriage of taqwa, piety. Because if taqwa is in both husband and wife, the marriage inshallah will be a smooth ride. But if there's no taqwa in either one of them, it will be a bumpy road full of thorns and rocks. Either one of them. Doesn't mean that taqwa is not in both. Because even if one person has taqwa, the other doesn't, it will still cause vibrations and difficulties. Although the other person having taqwa may accommodate with it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right from the outset, the first ayah in Surah Nisa is talking about that, look, O people, O mankind, we have created you from one soul. And from it, meaning Adam, and from it, its wife. If you remember last time on Sunday, we gave you the hadith of Rasulullah, which is in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif both, that the Prophet said that the woman has been created from Adam's rib, which is a metaphorical expression, does not mean literally created from the rib bone of Adam alayhi salam. But what it means, as the fuqaha and jurists and ulama of the tafsir say, is that it is tied in, it's connected, they're not separate. And this also comes in line with the ayah in Surah Rum, Surah 30, where Allah SWT says, I believe in the 20 to 30 range verses, that Allah SWT tells, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He has created for each one of you, from you, your soul. Meaning your soulmate, that's why they call this your soulmate. Your soulmate is a part of you, is a juz of you, is a part and parcel of you, in the sense that that is the compatibility. And because of this error, many times, you know, people, elders say that, you know, couples are made in heavens. Allah is the one who chooses. You may go from post to post, wall to wall, searching for your spouse, thinking maybe she's the right one, maybe he's the right one, but you see that it doesn't end. You don't get that one. And finally, the one you marry, you never even knew about it. It comes from ghaib, all of a sudden. Because Allah knew who is going to be your spouse. And Allah has chosen the spouse for you. So that's why we see that the Sahaba used to make istikhara, dua of istikhara. That, oh Allah, whichever proposal I'm looking at, make it the one that is the one you chose, suitable for. And that is why in this area Allah tells us about that. And then the beginning of the surah, it talks about also the ayat of miras, inheritance laws, as Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah says, and even most of the ulama tafsir have indicated that in the whole Quran, one thing that Allah has kept it in His hand and did not give or leave it for the Prophet to give the details is miras, inheritance. The other things like salah, siyam, hajj, zakat, ibadat, other worships and things, other juristic things in the deen, the main things, the main pillars are mentioned in the Quran, and the details have been laid down by the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Here, even the minutest details have been described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guess why? Pop quiz. One. Nobody? Because it's a very delicate issue. Money is the issue of fasad. Money can separate father from son. Money can separate brother from brother. Money can separate husband from wife. And that's why we see that Pelosi guy killed that millionaire because he could get the money. Okay? And we see that every day in this country. That someone killing the husband of that old, that young lady because the person was old and the life insurance policy or the wealth he couldn't have. Money is a problem creator if used in the wrong sense. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about inheritance. Inheritance for both females and males. Prior to Islam, nobody knew about inheritance for females. And so, unusual, what a dilemma it is that we are 1425 years after the Nuzul of Quran, and still in some backward places in some Muslim countries, the rural areas, the village areas, many of the women are mahrum from the inheritance of their fathers or brothers. They get them signed or stamped. If they can't even sign, they are unpaid, illiterate, they get them signed and stamped from their son, Angudasha, and then blank paper, and then they write on it that, okay, she forgoes her inheritance. This is whim, oppression. And here Allah's mother is saying about how the women folk are given also from the inheritance and how the males are distributed and everything. Then it also, the surah begins also to talk about the people who are mahram and who are non-mahram for marriage, who people can marry, who cannot. And the ayat that we'll look at now, which ties up where we left out the discussion the other day on Sunday about marital relationships. The first one Allah SWT talks about here is وَالَّاتِ يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتُ أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. This ayat talking about the people, the woman that people sometimes accuse or blame wrongfully that she is fahisha, bajalaniya, something like that, just to defame her, degrade her, just to get a revenge, rebellion, retaliation against her. When nothing goes their way, the most cowardice and easiest way for a husband or male is, okay, you're bajalani, she is a very, very indecent lady. And this way, he can get his things done. It's a trickery and treachery, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq, as the creator, as the Malik, and as the one who's Sami'ul Alim and Basir, is telling us and warning, especially the menfolk, that don't try to deceive your own nafs. Remember, Allah is watching. If you make a tuhma, a blame, accusation on a pakiza, pure esteemed lady, remember you have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and what will you do? And yes, if the accusation you think is right, bring four witnesses. That's what Allah says. فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ. Subhanallah. And if you go into the details of this Sharia ruling in this here, the fuqaha jurists say, you have to have four eyewitnesses that can actually witness the act of indecency committed. It's almost impossible. As if Allah SWT has given the protection wall, safety wall to the woman of Islam. So nobody can use this issue. مردوں کے لئے بہت آسان ہے کہ عورتوں کو جو ہے بجلن اور غلط کام کے اندر ملوث کر کے ان کو جانا گھر سے باہر نکالو اور یہ کر دو وہ کر دو. It's very easy to manipulate this thing. And that is what Allah SWT is acknowledging here, the creator. Look, men folk, before the shaitani nafs, before the whisper gets into your brain to use this route to get rid of your wife, make sure that you are well prepared to face Allah SWT on the Day of Judgment, because there is a heinous punishment for that. Then Allah SWT says also about Tawbah, for whom Tawbah is accepted. And Allah SWT also tells us about in verse 19, Surah Nisa, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَحَلُّ لَكُمْ أَنْ تَرِثُوا النِّسَاءَ كَرْحًا وَلَا تَعْدُلُهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بَعْدَ مَا آتَيْتُمُهُنَّ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. This is the paramount ayah, in fact I would say the crux of the issue in Surah Nisa, especially for males and females, husband-wife relationship. Allah SWT is saying, especially for the males, that and addressing them, that all you believe, لَا يَحَلُّ لَكُمْ مِنْ تَرْسُ النِّسَاءَ كَرْحًا, it does not be appropriate for you to hold your wives in marriage against their will, and to oppress them, and to torture them, whether it's mental torture, physical torture, or verbal torture. Galia, galoj, badtameezi, zaban ki badkalami. Mental torture, giving tension and stress, so tum ye nahi kar sakti, tum woh nahi kar sakti, tum maa se nahi mil sakti, tum baap se. I mean, harassing and really mesmerizing the brains and burning the brains of women for. This is what Allah is saying. The core, dislike. Agar woh kuran aur jalan se rehri, zabardasti, zabar jabar rehri, aur mart ke ek shakanje mein rehri. What I said, if you remember on Sunday night, that thinking of the male for the men thinking that, you know, I'm the macho man, I'm the dictator of the house. That's the way it is. It's my way or highway. This is what Allah's mother is saying, that no, that does not work in Islam. Yes, Allah's mother has appointed the males as the Amir of the Bayt. I said this also on Sunday. But what does really Amir mean? Does Amir mean to be an authoritarian figure in the house? Does Amir mean to be a Badshah, a king, a monarchy? Does Amir mean to have a dictatorship with a stick and a belt and ready for everything? No. If you look at the life history and sunnah and seerah of Rasulullah, he showed a prime example. What is Amir? Amir is one who leads the caravan with shura and mashwara and with humility and humbleness. In fact, one of the qawaif, one of the fundamental ingredients for an Amir to be qualified to be Amir is that he should have taqwa of a high quality, and from the taqwa, humility, humbleness, tawadu, ajizi, inkisari. You make it halarami or ghusha or wo, and that is what Allah says. I mean, the ayahs over here, if you really know Arabic language, or you learn the Arabic language, when you read these ayahs, insan ke ronte khade ho jate. Khususan shohar ki, agar shohar in ayaton ko padhe, to phir wo kabhi bhool bhi gaye, kabhi haath bhi uthana auraton ki taraf, ya belt ya dandiyan uthane, joote uthane. That is how the brevity of the ayahs, the word choices that Allah has put. And this is one of the things of learning Arabic language. When we learn Arabic language, we get to get the hidden picture, the hidden meanings. But say, find out what is Allah SWT giving a visualization. And then look what Allah SWT says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And the khitab in this verse is for the males. And now those of us who are learning Arabic, you can see. What is the word? عَاشِرُهُنَّ. عَاش. عَاش means to live. عَاشِرُهُنَّ. هُنَّ, you know, is the value pronoun for females, for jama. And especially females. You see, this I tell, for those of you who haven't learned Arabic, we keep saying this in Arabic language, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His wisdom and hikmah, in the Arabic language, has chosen one pronoun specifically only for females, مُخْتَص, dedicated. And the pronoun for males includes females and males. Like right now, this gathering has males and females. I can use the hum pronoun or kum. But if I only want to address to the females, the sisters in the back, I will say kunna or hunna. And that is the khitab over here Allah's mother saying. As if implying that Allah is directly addressing the husbands of the Muslim ummah. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Ba, as we know, is harful jar, which means what? Bil ma'ruf, yani live with them in the females, the khitab here is jama, pluralistic. addressing all the husbands of the Muslim Ummah, that live with your wives with what? With ma'aruf. Now, as we know in the Arabic language, every word is a derivative of three root letters. What is the root letter of ma'aruf? Who can tell me? Nahi, ghalat. Shukriya, like this one. Arafa. इसीलिए मैंने गाड़ी फ्राइडे के लिए तैयारी करी अब क्या चाहिए आरफ टू गेट टू नो आई रा एंड फा आई रा फा मींस आरफ आरफ ये जो जबल आरफ माउंट आरफ क्यों हम कहते हैं आरफ के मैदान में जाना हज में अल हज आरफ है हुजूर सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम की हदीस है कि हज आरफ हज है वो बेसिकली वकूफ आरफ है मेन चीज जो है वो सारा निचोड़ जो है वो उस पहाड़ पर खड़ा होना उसको अरफा का पहाड़ क्यों कहते हैं क्योंकि वहां पे आदम अलैहिस्सलाम और बीबी हव्वा वहां पे मुलाकात हुई मिले थे जब जन्नत से निकले गए और जमीन के ऊपर आए तो हव्वा अलैहिस्सलाम यहां पे थी जद्दा मक्का के एरिया में और आदम अलैहिस्सलाम हिंद के इलाके में वहां से चलते हुए पूरा यहां तक पहुंचे और यहां पे आगे दोनों की मुलाकात भी थी और इस मकाम को अरफा का मकाम कर दिया और यहीं से कहा गया यही कोई इब्ने आदम का महशर भी नहीं होगा Hashar, Yom Hashar, Yom Hashar, do anything. Arafah. So Arafah means what? To get to know each other, to meet, to understand, to realize each other. When you know each other inside out, Arafah. And from it comes Ma'aruf. Ashiruhunna bil Ma'aruf. Live with the woman, live with the wives, with Ma'aruf, with kindness, with knowingness, with understanding, with nurturing and grooming. And realizing their temperament, their lifestyle, their habits, their likes and dislikes, and their things. This is what ma'ruf means, to get to know a person. And that is what Allah is saying in the Quran, that He has created our soulmates from us, and He has made between them mawadda wa rahma. Allah has made the love and the attraction between them, and the rahma between them after the marriage. Unlike the comments of this society where we live, that you got to get to know each other before the marriage. You have to have love. You have to find love before marriage. It is bogus and falsehood because the creator of the universe and the creator of the two souls, male and female, is saying you will get to know each other once you live with each other after the halal way nikah, not before that. You will find the love in each other once you get to know each other when you live with each other in the halal way after nikah. Not that you find love and then that's it, you decide. How many loves have they found and how many divorces have they found? Usually within the next month or 2 months and some of them living for 10 years together in a haram relationship and then after 10 years of living they get married and in 6 months they divorce. So were they better off living the 10 years or better off after that? And this is showing you the falsehood. This is showing you the evils and perils of falsehood, that falsehood is never substantiated. And Allah's mother is saying, وَعَاشِرَهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with them in humility and humbleness. Have a big heart. The same thing I said on Sunday, that this ayah is directing to the males. That don't degrade yourself. Don't make yourself so lonely and make a lonely person like a child, having childish behavior, picking up on petty issues, retaliating, seeking revenge, tit for tat kind of attitude. She said this, I have to say this. She did this, I have to do this. She gave this facial expression, I have to do it this way. I have to settle the score. This slogan does not fit right according to the Sharia of Islam, according to this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the males that grow up, mature, be men. Be the Amir of the house as Allah has appointed you and ordained you. Again, in this surah is the ayah. أَرِجَالُ قَوَامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ مِمَّا فَضَلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُ بِبَعْضُ. Allah says that He has made the rijal, the husbands of the household, قَوَامُونَ قَوَامَ. Of the leadership and the authority of the house because of the fadl that Allah does not mean that Allah is discriminating between the two people. It means that Allah SWT has created each and every soul, the males and females, unique and different. But at the same token, Allah has given each person their individuality. And there's no discrimination between them. They're both equal to each other. They can live with peace and harmony. And this ayah is saying, if you remember the hadith I gave you on Sunday, just to refresh your memory, that the Prophet ﷺ said that la yufraku mu'min mu'minatin, that no male husband, no Muslim husband, should hate his wife, in kariha minha khulukan, if he dislikes or gets irritated from one of her features or characteristics, radiya biha akhar, he likes or is satisfied with some other feature of her. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ is giving the cure, the remedy, the medicine of finding the solution of difference of opinion and disputes and arguments in family life. But if you are seeing there's a difference of opinion, there's problem going on, And shaitan is making you focus on the negative parts of her, because the khitab in that hadith by the Prophet is again for us, for the males. There's so much khitab for the males, meaning there's so much empowerment by Allah SWT and the Prophet on the males, that look, they have a strong accountability on the Day of Judgment. That if you look at the whole picture, the broader picture, as if Allah is implying that a failed marriage is because of failed leadership, because of cowardice of the leader who is a male, does not own up to be a male. And the cowardice Allah describes further in the other ayats over here. فَلْكَرَحْتُمُوهُنَّ Again the word of karah. If you dislike something from your wife, that's what Allah is saying. فَلْكَرَحْتُمُوهُنَّ Just the same thing as the hadith of Rasul said, that in كَرِهَا مِنْهَا قُلُكُمْ If he disliked something from her, anything, it could be anything, A, B, C, D, E, anything. And then the Prophet is saying, if you dislike something from her, divert your attention fast and rapidly to the things that you like. So that don't give the chance or opportunity for shaitan to put waswasa in your heart, emotion building, boiling the blood. Because shaitan wants to pick on the negative, petty issues in the wives for the husband, so that the husband can be focused and concentrated on that, and then they get irritated and then in the jamma apne aadmi bhagma or kana or girana fi garazma. This is happening because of who? Shaitan, waswasa. And the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, don't focus on the negativities, focus on the positive things of her immediately, so that you don't give the shaitan a chance to make you hung up on a hook of the negative things in her. And that is why when you look on the positive side, automatically, in human nature, it's a human nafs. When you think on the positive side, you forget. Because insan, name is from nisyan, forgetfulness. You forget the negative things that you are thinking. JazakAllah khair. You forget the things that was there, negative, pinching you, irritating you, when you think on the positive. And that's exactly what Allah's mother is saying in this ayah. فَإِنْ كَرَحْتُمُهُنَّ If you dislike something from them, from the woman folk, فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا Allah's mother is saying that if you dislike something from her, then perhaps, عَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا Perhaps you hate something, you dislike something, وَيَجْعَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا And Allah will make something in that thing that you hate or dislike, Allah will make in that thing something خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا Abundant good. Now your mind will be baffled and boggled, perturbed. How can something good come out of something I hate or dislike? But remember, who is the creator of the hearts? Allah. Who is the creator of emotions? Allah. Who is the creator of the sentiments? Allah. Who is the creator of this brain? Allah. Who is the creator of all these nervous system that we have inside? Allah. He is the mastermind of the control. If we follow His directives, if we follow His orders, automatically He will soothe the nafs, bring tranquility and sakina and serenity in it. Because Allah is saying in this ayah, husbands, for you to be successful, you have to have sukoon in the house. अगर घर में बेचैनी है बेसुकूनी है इस्तराब की कैफियत है रोजाना लड़ाई झगड़ा परेशानी और हंगामा है तो इंसान नाकाम है इंसान नाकाम है इंसान नाकाम है और अगर घर में सुकून है और आबादी है और खैर आबादी है तो वो इंसान जिसको अल्लाह ताला ने पैदा किया अपना खलीफा बनाया तो वो दिन और रात सर्फ कर देगा अल्लाह की खिदमत लेकिन जब घर में बेचैनी बेसुकूनी होगी तो अल्लाह की बात दूर हो तो अपने आप को भी सुकून से जो स्टेबलाइज कर सके ये है असल Hikmat, wisdom wali ayat. Jo Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keh raha hai. And look at the sahaba, look at the first generation Muslims. Jin sahabiyon ne bhi jo beshumar qurbaniyan diye din ke raat mein din ke khane unke gharon ki nazar ko utha ke dekh le unke gharon ke hawal ko utha ke dekh le unke azdiya ki zindagi ko utha ke dekh le kitni sukoon hai aur tamanina sunne ki as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has implied that he wants to choose you for his deen to be a da'i to be a worker he will create sukoon in your house तो या तो वो दे चीज होगी या तो अपना दिल इंसान अल्लाह को दे दे और हर तरफ से सुकून हासिल कर ले या ये तो दिल को अपने पास रखे अपने दुनिया की मटेरियलिस्टिक लाइफ में गुजार रखे तो घर में बेचैनी है बेसुकून रहे सो इट्स अ विन विन सिचुएशन प्रोवाइडेड व्हिच वे यू लुक एट इट एंड इट कुड बी अ लूज लूज सिचुएशन व्हिच वे यू डील विद इट एंड देन अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व टेल्स अस वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट आयत आल्सो वर्स 34 again regarding the, I want to just focus on this issue from Surah Nisa. There are other issues also in Surah Nisa which I discussed last year. So if you were here, you listen. If you were not here, you can check with your brothers if they remembered from 1 year. But I want to focus on this because since last year, this year, there has been an increased ratio. We say ratio because those people, the imams or shuyukh or the leaders who are in this field of counseling and consultation, they have unanimous agreement that there has been a significant rise every year within the American Muslim society in marital discord, marital problems, difference of house. And because we are in this Barakat Mahina, blessed month of Ramadan, we want to use this month of Ramadan to understand the psyche of marital life, how to live with each other, so that we can remove this problem and remove this obstacle and hurdle in our life, which is creating the biggest dissension, because it's differentiating not two people but two families, and also it is hurting us from the Ummah of Islam, because the Ummah is not progressing further, it's getting derailed. Rukawat dete rukawat reh rahi, kaante pe kaante aa rahi, to ummat aage kaise badhegi? Ummat ka rona sare rote ki ummat kahan baithi hai, kaun itna sasta ho gaya, har taraf musalman mar rahe. Kabhi ye to dekhe ki ummat kis cheez se bani hui hai, unhi family unit se. Agar ek family unit, dusra, teesra, har koi har ghar mein aag lagi hui hai, to pura jo ummat ka sudoon hai, usme kahan se sukoon aayega? Ye sochne wali baat, shaitan hame kahan se kahan leke ja raha hai? Kyun Allah subhanahu wa taala kehte hain Quran mein, innahu aduwwun mubeen, that he is your cruel vowed enemy. He has taken a vow, an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will create bi-sukuni and bi-chaini in the house of Ibn Adam. And we all are Ibn Adam. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying over here, that الرِّجَالَ قَرَبُونَ الْنِسَىٰ بِمَا فَضَلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed the male folk as the qawwam, as the leader of the house, بِمَا فَضَلَ بَعْضُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, because of what Allah has given the fadl both to both. There is some fadil for the women folk. Jannah jo maa ke karma ke niche baapon ke karma ke, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the acceptance of dua of the father more, and so there are many other things, many other fadl. Allah has given something to the husband, something to the female, the wives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتُ حَافِظَاتُ لِلْغَيْبِ مَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ. The salihat, the pious virtuous wives, qanitat, ibadat guzar, tahajjud guzar wives, qanitat, qanitin meaning standing in prayer, long nights in prayer. Tahajjud guzar, ibadat guzar biwi, ek namat hai. Jaisa ki Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne hadith mein farmaya that inna dunya mata wa khairu mata zawjatu salihah. This whole dunya is a comfort. Ye sari ki sari dunya ek aramgah hai. Aur sabse behtareen aramgah, the best comfort, is a pious, virtuous wife. Why? Because when you look at her, you have peace and sakina ta'in. When you live with her, you have tranquility. When you give her something, she takes care of it. She guards her chastity in your absence. She takes care of your amana, the mal and the awlad in your absence. She is an obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet and also obedient to the husband. Sari mardo ki ta'aj jo Allah ta'ala ne maa ke karne ke rakhi. Maa agar naraaz hai, to Allah ta'ala karna naseeb nahi karenge zuban pe. Aur sari auraton ke liye, kyunki jitne jo mard hain sare bete hain kisi na kisi maa ke, to sari auraton ki itaat kisne rakh di? Husband ki, miyan ki. Ke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a balance of power. Everything is interrelated and equally balanced. Kisi ek ko ye nahi ke tumse to fauqiyat hai. There's no discrimination in Islam. Some people misinterpret this ayah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, حَافِظَاتُ بِالْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ. They protect in the unseen, they protect in the absence of their husbands, because when the husband is out there earning and busy 8-7 hours a day, aajkal to khair gadgets hain, cell phone hai, ye hai, camera par hai, kya kya, but what Allah is saying, that the woman that takes care of her house in the absence of her husband, uski pakizgi, uski pavitri, uski piousness, uski virtuousness, uski the taking care of the guarding and the chastening, everything in the house in the absence of husband, that is the real sutun, that is the real taqwa, that brings the stability. Because if she engages or involves in indecency and immodest, immorality activities while the husband is away, she's not only cheating the husband, but she's cheating with Allah and deceiving, and there's a grave. And vice versa, same thing for the husband also. But here Allah says, وَاللَّذِي تَخَافُونَ نَشُوزُهُنَّ فَعِذُهُنَّ وَهَجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَاضْرِبُوهُنَّ. I wanted to choose this ayah specifically because a lot of the Muslim husbands are quoting this ayah and misquoting it and misusing it, abusing it, and misinterpreting it, saying that hamare haathon mein Allah Taala ne danda de diya, hamare haathon mein Allah Taala ne belt de diya, hamare haathon mein Allah Taala ne joote de diya, hamare haathon mein Allah Taala ne fauke taqlid aur sadarat de di. Hum chahe to isko peet peet ke khatam kar de, hum chahe to uske upar ek neem daal de, hum chahe to uska gala phaad de, hum chahe to uske gaal phaad de. There are people who have this attitude. You'd be amazed. You think that it is fictitious? No. It's real life stories. Stories of houses, of individuals, of families. They're titter-bitterful. They are being devastated and destroyed. And the masoom, innocent children that you see in those houses have been bilaye ro rahe. Na baap ki shakal dekh sakte, na maa ki shakal dekh sakte, because aapas mein chhuniyan nikli. And that is why I wanted to pick on this ayah specifically, to understand in the light of Sunnah, in the light of Quran, what is Allah SWT telling us. Allah SWT says, وَالَّتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزُهُنَّ. After explaining about the pious wife, virtuous wife, her father and maqam, Allah SWT addresses the issue of those wives who are engaging in decency. Allah SWT says, وَالَّتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزُهُنَّ. Nushuz, nashuz means rebellious or disobedience, indecency, immorality. Those wives that are disobedient to Allah SWT and disobedient to the Sunnah of Rasulullah and disobedient to the husband and disobedient to the Sharia of Islam and doing things fuhish and fahisha and all kinds of evil things, for them Allah SWT says, وَالَّذِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزُهُنَّ. The wife that you think, you being a sarkash ho jai, badzan ho jai, or bilkuli haath se bhaar ho jai, unki liya pe khitab Allah SWT, what is he saying? وَاللَّهِ تَخَافُونَ شُوْهُنَّ فَعِذُهُنَّ. ان بیویوں کے ساتھ کیا کرنا چاہیے؟ سب سے پہلا step, first step, فَعِذُهُنَّ. وَعِذُهُنَّ meaning وَعَد, give them warning, give them reasoning, dialogue, discussion, have them sit down, try to counsel them, tell them, I'm your husband, I have responsibility at this house, if something goes wrong from your side, it is upon me also as an accountability. If that doesn't work out, then Allah says, وَحَجِرُهُنَّ لِهِجْرَ مُفَارَقَ, in the same house, stop being in the same bedroom with them, live in the same house, in the same room, but not with them, trying to imply to her that I am upset as your husband. That's the second step, بِتَدْرِيج. And in between these steps, there are many others. And then Allah says, فِي مَدَاجِي. And then finally Allah says, وَضْرِبُهُنَّ. Literally translated means hit them. And that is where people, especially the men folk, are misusing this ayah. And I want to give a nice, simple, humble nasiha to myself first and foremost, and to all the husbands in the Muslim Ummah, that Allah by no means is saying over here by this word, وَضْرِبُهُنَّ and hit them. No. We have to understand the ayah in the context of Rasulullah, what he told us, in the restrictions that he gave us. And also we're not supposed to quote this ayah out of context. We have to see the other ayahs that comply with this, that when there is a dispute between husband and wife, does the husband have authority to use a belt and hit her? Does the husband have authority to use a whip, chabuk and sasher? Does the husband have authority to use a knife and hit her? Does he have authority to use a stone or a stick or something? No. وَضْرِبُهُنَّ, what does that mean? The Prophet ﷺ explained this in his tafsir. He said, this ضَرْبٌ غَيْرَ مُبَرَّحٌ. This is the linguistic definition that the Prophet ﷺ said, that it should be a hit that is not at all inflicting. And the Jewish fuqaha took it from that word of مُبَرَّح. بَرَحَ means a kind of pat, like a pat, shabashi ka pat. That is what. And where it is to be hit, it is given restrictions. Not on the head, not on the face, not on the chest, not on the back, not on the bones. Most of the place that the fuqaha agree on is on the hand part, on upper part here. It's as if like a slight pat like this, so as to show the emotion of the husband that he has tried all avenues and everything in order to reconcile in this marriage and dispute. And finally, he's saying as a gesture that I'm upset. Not that, and then that's big sound. See that? It's even hurting on my finger. And Allah is saying, وَضْرِبُهُنَّ. Look at Allah is not saying that you can hit to crack the bones, because the definition here is saying, نہیں, اللہ تعالیٰ یہ نہیں کہہ رہا ہے, مجھے آپ سے اختلاف کرنا پڑے گا, کیونکہ یہ تفسیر ہے. ہاں, لیکن اس طرح کا تو نہیں. And the thing is, there is not to break the bones or sit. The understanding that we have to understand is the wording. عربی زبان جو ہے ہماری ماری زبان نہیں, اس لیے ہمیں عربی زبان کی مفہوم میں سمجھنا ہوگا. ضرب غیر مبرح, غیر means negation, just like لیس, we learned in Arabic, okay? Or the other one that is there, ma. It's all negative thing. غَيْرَ مُبَرَّحْ مُبَرَّحْ meaning such that it hurts on the hand or the body or somewhere. So if you're going to hit such that's going to hurt the person, you're violating the ayah. You are right in saying that, okay, Allah says, Allah Ta'ala kare maro. Lekin Allah Ta'ala ye bhi kare, kis tarikhe se maro. Agar us tarikhe se bhi aapne apnaya, aur usko violate kar diya, usse aage bhar gaye, to aap phir Allah Ta'ala ki sarkashi mein aaoge. Phir Allah Subhanahu Ta'ala aapka ihtisab lega. And remember, that when Allah comes to ihtisab accountability, then it's extreme accountability. And Allah Subhanahu Ta'ala over here is also implying one thing, that this is the last resort. Not the first thing that you see. What is the fa'idhunna? And then wahjurhunna. Al-hijr. These two things are very important. Because al-hijr and wa'id are two things that directly sink the message in the mind of the people. And Allah is saying that insan, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created human beings in the best of creation, with the best mind and aql, their understanding, the processes that are involved in making the things solvable, not to go in the aggressive mode. And then the other thing Allah is saying, that remember that your wives are a trust and amanah in your hand. There are many other hadith of Rasulullah that tells us that khayrukum khayrukum ma nisa'ikum, the best of you closest to me on the day of judgment are those who are the best to your wives. So if we are a wife bachelor, wife beater, you will never even see the face of Rasulullah. No matter how much da'wah we make, I love Rasulullah, I go to Medina in Ziyarah, in Khab, in dreams. Because there's two contradictions. Rasulullah, if you look at all his ahadith, does not at all portray a picture of Muslim husbands as aggressive, authoritarian, dictatorial, and beating kind of people. He's rather showing a humble, humility kind of person who, after being exhausted from all the tools and avenues of finding the solution to the problems, he just shows a gesture, a light gesture, to show that I'm fed up with that. And then, even after that, the second stage that Allah says, فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, that if you feel that even this does not solve the problem, then go and make an arbitration committee. One person from her family, one person from your family, the two sit down together and go through that dialogue. If that does not solve the problem, then go to the next stage where you go to a qadi or a judge or a sheikh or imam, where you go for counseling and consultation, and they decide the thing. Meaning in Islam, there is no way of force, in the sense that people think of the word force. It is true that the word itself is safe, but what I said is Muslim males misusing that. And then the other thing that Allah says in this aspect of Surah Nisa is the issue of understanding the intelligence. When Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, that all human beings have created you in the best of creation, with the aql saleem. Use your brain, use your intelligence, use your smartness. Use ways to find solution, amicable solution to problems. You do use force in all other problems, problem with your boss, with your manager, with your supervisor, problem with your father or mother, do you hit? I mean, Allah's father is addressing the issue here in a very intellectual manner that realizes the bigger picture. And also the other things Allah tells on the same constant is those people who try to have self-praise. Because in this is an act of self-praise. Because Allah has made me as a male, macho man, that kind of personality, and the authority and aggression, so therefore I am the one who is ahead. Whereas Allah is saying is that He does not like or love the people who praise themselves. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't you see to the people who try to praise themselves, praising their own selves, from their own tongues, from their own authority, this is the way it is. Allah says, بَلِ اللَّهِ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. Allah is the one who praises whoever He wants. He is the one who gives izzah to whoever He wants. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. And Allah does not oppress anyone. Remember one thing, brothers and sisters, that when Allah makes us, appoints us with authority above something, then Allah also attaches with it accountability, ihtisab. He will ask, what did you do with this authority that I gave you? So for parents, there is accountability over their children. For the grandparents, it's accountability for their children. And so, in the same way, there is accountability for the elder brother, elder sister, for the younger brother and sister. How do they treat them? In the same way, there's accountability for the imam, for his community. In the same way, there is accountability for the leader of the nation, of the tribe, of the chief, of the group. What did they do? How did they do? Whenever there is authority attached to any position, automatically there is accountability. And that is why the first thing that they should keep in mind when it comes to accountability is taqwa. Because if there's no taqwa, they will misuse and abuse the authority. They will misuse and abuse the power that has been given. Just because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word darb for in this ayah in the Quran does not mean that He is giving a free ticket to the ruler to use authority and using that word. But rather He's saying, will you be mature enough, intelligent enough to show the leadership skills? What is leadership? And in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the one who goes directly to this tool of hitting before using any of the other things is the most cowardly person on earth. Because he thinks that by force he can terrorize and traumatize the other person and really mesmerize their brain and make them live in fear. And make them live in such a fear that they don't even sleep in the nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, this is dhulm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this same surah, in Surah Nisa, that dhulm is one of the major sins, oppression. Oppressing anyone who is beneath you, under your authority. Whether the hakim is oppressing the people, the masses, and they're oppressed, whether the parents are doing oppression to the children, not fulfilling their duties toward the children, whether the husband is oppressing the wife, or the wife is oppressing the husband, could be both ways. Whoever oppresses the other party in any realm of society, in a relationship, will be in a great and grave sin in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will have to answer. And all the a'mal salihah that they did will be put on one side, and the dhulm will be weighed on one side, and will outweigh it. And that is what Allah is saying, that are you prepared for that? And that's why even for shirk, Allah is saying, إِنَّ شِرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is one of the gravest and major and the biggest kind of dhulm, oppression. Because you're not giving Allah His due maqam, His due position, His due status and respect and honor and dignity. So dhulm can be understood in many different ways. When Allah is calling it shirk as dhulm, imagine the dhulm that Allah is addressing in terms of authority, in terms of dealing with each other. Then this surah also talks about Muqatala, again, comparative religion, talks about the Trinity issue, that they believe in the God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Allah subhanahu says in this ayah, you must have heard this yesterday, Intahu Salaza, get rid of the Trinity and three things, it's only Allah, the one and only. Then also Allah subhanahu talks about here in this surah about Amanah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمَلْكُمْ أَنْ تُعَدِّ الْأَمَانَةِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَنْ تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you to give and put your trust to the people as it being ordered, meaning be trustworthy, fulfill your trust. And here fulfilling trust also means fulfilling your obligation in whatever relationship, whether as a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter, whatever relationship you are in a family time, you have to fulfill your trust, your amana, that is also in that sense. And then Allah says, what is a hakamtum bayna an-nas? And if you ever got a chance in this dunya to be a judge between two people, and tahkumu bil adl, don't be biased. Don't be inclined to one way. تَحْكُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ. Be having justice. Having fairness. Because adl is the one that is the thing that Allah will hold accountable for that day. And then Allah says also, towards the people who do not listen to the sunnah, who do not pay attention to the sunnah and don't follow it. فَلَا رَبِّكَ لَا يَؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجٍ مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a qasam, an oath. He's swearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا رَبِّكَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing, that by your Lord I swear, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَعْمِنُونَ, they do not believe, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not really believe, until when, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بِاللَّهِ, until they use your judgment, your authority, فِي مَا شَجَرَ بِاللَّهِ, in their disputes and disagreements. Now today the Prophet is not alive with us. What does this ayah apply? Means that today if we have a problem, two people, any two people, whether it's two brothers or father and son, or two son and the mother, whatever relationship it is, a husband and wife, whatever relationship is, if there is a problem and they go to the solution from the sunnah, that the sunnah of Rasulullah says that this is the solution, amicable solution for this problem, but then they listen and they turn a deaf ear to it and they turn and they say, oh, I can't do it. Or I know, they feel busy about implementing it. This is that ayah is saying. That يحكمون فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدون في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت. Once the qada, once the judgment of the sunnah or the sharia of Rasulullah is listened and they don't implement it in their life, they turn it away, then Allah's saying is for them is a big azab. Why? Because they feel a pinch, they feel irritated to implement that. This is from the sunnah. They say and they claim they have to follow sunnah, they love the sunnah of Rasulullah, but they don't implement it, so this is like a dichotomy, it's like hypocrisy. And that's why then the next few ayahs also in Surah Nisa, Allah talks about hypocrites, munafiqeen. Allah says, إِنَّ مُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That certainly the hypocrites are in the lowest part of the fire. And that part is called Al-Hariyah. As you know, there are like seven parts in the fire. The first one is Jahannam, then Lava, then Nar, and then others. And the first one is Muwahideen, Muslims, who took their Shahada, but they failed the test of Iman, so they will have to go through Azab. But then finally, after the Azab, they will be coming back to Jahannam with blackened faces, because they will be distinguished with a distinguished mark in Jannah, that these were the people who went to Jahannam first, and then they entered Jannah. That's the first level. Then the second is Nasara, Christians. Then the third level is the the Yahud. And then the fourth level is the Sabi'een, those who worship stars, you know, and the orbits and planets and all that. And then the next one is Majus, fire worshippers, Persian Empire in those areas. Then the next one is Mushrikeen, polytheists, who worship more than one god. And finally, Munafiqeen. This is an ibra for all the people who had the message to believe in, and they say something and believe something, or believe something and say something. Allah is giving ibra that these people, the Munafiqeen, will be put after all these people. Because all the, if you look at it, the first one is Muslims, but after all of them are those who are deviant. And why is the hypocrites coming below all of that? Because Allah is giving them a strong warning that you, O hypocrite, are worst kind of people on the face of this earth because of your trickery, your treachery, and your deception that you try to deceive people. It's a big idea. And then we'll talk more about the Munafiqeen. So October, where the Allah SWT forbade Rasulullah to pray Salatul Janazah for a Munafiq, or to even go to their qabr. لَا تَقُمْ عَلَى قَبْرٍ أَحَدٍ. Don't stand even on the qabr in front of a Munafiq. Allah is giving this order in Surah Tawbah to Rasulullah. We'll pick up more of that. It's almost time. And the rest of the ayat in Surah Nisa really talk about the comparative religion, about the Jews and Christians and how they deviated. Then we start off with Surah Ma'idah, inshallah. Tomorrow Surah Ma'idah is the fifth surah in the Quran. It's also a Madani surah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalam.